All right. Well, let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight. We're going to spend a lot of time in 2 Chronicles 34, but we'll be venturing off into a lot of places. But you can be assured we're going to go from glory to glory tonight, transformed into His very image more and more as we go. But I've been thanking the Lord richly again for this this truth that He's given us. And again, the Holy Ghost that through that precious gospel that was given to the Apostle Paul, how it's unlocked the mysteries that the Holy Ghost is faithfully revealing to us throughout the Word of God. And I'm so thankful to God that we see this pattern of love over and over. We see the pattern of my love for the bride, Jesus' heart, the type and shadow, the metaphor, how it parallels in so many different ways. And tonight, going back to the life of King Josiah, we're going to see the unfolding tonight through many of the things that he's, the Lord's divinely had him to enter into, that will divinely see the unfolding of the rapture for us, even into Armageddon for us, even the establishment, praise God, of Jerusalem for us. So let's let him take us down just a little bit more into that glory treasure vault tonight. Now last week we left off that Josiah, we saw, did all that was right in the sight of the Lord. We saw that he walked in all the ways of David his father in the Lord. And then we saw the very last thing that it said, that he sought God and sought the God of his father David. And actually, 1 Chronicles 28:9, so you're pretty close there right now if you opened up to 2 Chronicles, so turn on over there. You can see that David himself left this charge for his son Solomon. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, this is what David said to Solomon. And so beautiful here, as David's going to be with the Lord soon, but he's instructing Solomon to go on in the ruling and reigning that was specifically given to David as that king for Israel. And he says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." See how he says that? Know my God. Know my God. The God of your father David. He wasn't ashamed of it, was he? He was bold in the Lord. He knew how he knew the Lord. Paul knew how he knew the Lord. That's why he could say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That's why he would say, "Adhere, listen, consider my words. And I'll tell you what, you'll have understanding in all things." How dare a guy talk like that? I'm so thankful that God's men and God's kings, you know what? They talk like that. That's our speak. It's our thanksgiving to God because of what he has given. And this is something, be assured in it. Be a pillar in the house of the Lord. Stand, withstand, having done all, stand. Praise God. Didn't Paul say it wasn't unto him only, unto all them also that love is appearing? It's going to be the exact same reward. It's the exact same exalted crown rank of righteousness. Praise God. He's not a respecter of person. And his calling, his choosing is sure. It's steadfast. It's exact. And he will accomplish it. Oh, yes, he will. And those that will be accomplished in, they know it. As Brother Golden said, and I'm so thankful he did say it, because God gave you the knower. It's the truth. You got the knower. You know it. Then some people, they just don't have the knower. They just don't. And they go round and round and round. But Caleb Joshua sure had a knower. They knew it. They know her. Oh, man, I know that's mine. And I know it's mine now. It's really simple, isn't it? God said it. Is that good enough for you? It is for me. Listen to what he says now. So, getting back there, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou my God, the God of thy father, and serve him with a what? A perfect heart. Wow, look at that. It actually says that there, doesn't it? And with a willing mind. Oh, amen, Lord, give us the grace. And he does. For the Lord searches the hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And again, we understand this. This isn't speaking of that he would deny Solomon heaven, but he would deny him the right to reign. And that's the truth. All right? Take heed now. Notice it's now. Not someday, not tomorrow. Now. For the Lord hath what? Chosen thee. See, this is a big thing. When the Lord chooses you, be thankful. It's everything. Don't be distracted. Don't compromise his choosing. And how did Solomon compromise his choosing? He allowed his heart to be entangled with those that didn't have and didn't love the God of his father David. I'm confident that all of his wives, not all of them, I should say, didn't know God. They did, but they did they know the God of his father David? See, like precious faith is huge. And we have to be aware of it, saints. This is it. We're talking about eternity. This is my part time. I got full time coming. You know what I'm saying? And it's the truth. This is the vapor. Eternity is a long time. And what he's called us into is incredible. So take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee. And what did he choose him to do? To build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Just go after it. He's chosen you. Now just go do what he's told you to do. Amen. So what do? We run. We fight. Amen? Because he's chosen us, and that's what we do. I don't worry. I don't think about what I'm going to do. I know what he's called me to do. Amen. You know it too. Then David said to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of the chambers round about it, of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Oh my. Just jump to 19. All this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. Amen. That ignorant little shepherd boy. He could understand all that. He could understand, Stephen, all that engineering and all that architecture. You could understand the masterpiece of the architecture and engineering of the grace of God. It's building in you, praise be to God, that new Jerusalem, that holy city that'll descend from heaven having the glory of God. Yeah, you do. You know why? Because he wrote it upon you. He wrote it upon your heart. And thanks be to God, you can see, here we go. This is it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This doesn't vary. And so as David commands Solomon, Paul, praise God, he's the master builder. And the Lord used him to be the sergeant at arms to us. Follow me as I follow Christ. We're to be careful, be aware of how we build thereupon. Amen? And I believe it's called truth in love. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we adhere to the words, praise God, and we adhere to them. Consider them, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:7. Paul said that to Timothy. Consider the things that I say, and it'll give you understanding in all things. You consider what Paul says. You listen, adhere to it. You'll understand the word of God. All of it. Not some of it, not part of it. So if you want to really know the word of God, know Paul's gospel. And how is all truth going to be opened up to you? Got to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why, thank you, Jesus, everything bounces from and back from Romans and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. It has to, or the word of God wouldn't be true. It has to go through that for us to have understanding in all things. It has to be through Paul's gospel, because the Bible tells me so. It's not going to come any other way. Was Solomon going to figure out how to build the temple any other way but through the words and the instruction of his father David? He didn't go out and get the engineer of Israel. He didn't get all of the, you know, famous mathematicians and, you know, these guys that knew physics and all of that. No, I'm going to get this shepherd guy called, you know, he's my dad, actually. And the Lord wrote it upon his heart. I'm going with that. What do you think? Amen. So, we thank the Lord because, as it says in Ephesians 3:3-6, let's just be reminded of what our instruction is. And this is the Apostle Paul. And he says it many different ways through pretty much all of his epistles, but I want to take note tonight in Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation God made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand what? My knowledge. My knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You need to have Paul's knowledge, or you're not going to get it. Because the Lord wrote it upon his heart, just like the Lord wrote upon David's heart, all of the pattern of the tabernacle, the temple, the city, everything was there. It wasn't in any other place. That was the chosen vessel. And that's where it was. Paul's the chosen vessel. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, us, saved ones, praise God, should now be fellow heirs, joint heirs, as husband and wife, and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And once again, by the gospel, by the gospel, by the gospel. Not by works, but by the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the understanding and the knowledge of Paul and what was given to him of the mystery of Christ in the church. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we thank God that, as you see, which was given to whether it was Solomon or Josiah or however this works, it works the very same way. However, thanks be to God, we have a better thing. Yes, we do. An exceeding promise. Not a city built with hands, man's hands, but a city built by God. Hallelujah. Now, going on here. As we go back, and you can turn over to 2 Chronicles 34. Now we'll start in there. As we mentioned, Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in all the ways of his father David, the God of his father David. And now he seeks the God of his father David. And if you think about those things, those three things, it's like he knew the Lord, he grew in the Lord, and then he fell in love with the Lord. Yeah, it is. You know, he knew, he grew, and then he fell in love. Isn't that something? And that is actually, as you look at chapter 34, verse 3, that's where we left off last week, where it said, for in the eighth year of his reign, so he was only 16 years old, he's a tender young man, all right? While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. That word seek means worship. See, there's your falling in love. It was different. See, like I said, he did that which was right in the sight. Then he walked in all of the ways, but then it got ramped up a notch. Now I'm drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss my God. And that's the panting that David spoke of. That was that deer that panted for the water. There was a desire. It was truly something that was beyond in that love. So, let's go on in verse 3 and get a little bit deeper here tonight in these things. So it said that for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, so now he's jumped to a ripe old age of 20. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. All right? So when he's 20, he begins to purge out Judah and Jerusalem in the high places. Now, notice what it just said, right after it said of him seeking God, worshiping God, falling in love with God. Well, in like fashion, we have fallen in love with Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. We realize he's in love with us. And by the grace of God, we're ready for his appearing. That's what a readied wife is. You know that. We need to be a readied wife. His wife hath made herself ready. So we need to be that readied wife. And I pray that, and believing God, that we are that readied wife. So we're ready for his appearing. And we then soon will be raptured into glory at the first trumpet rapture. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to do some purging. Oh yeah, we are. It's at the end of that tribulation, a lot of purging's going on. And it's going to be right there in Jerusalem. It's going to be right there in Judah. It's going to be all over the world. I'm going to tell you something so sweetly. It's going to get cleaned up mighty good. So let's go on over and read from Revelation 19 what the Lord is encouraging us here. As Josiah fell in love, then he was readied to do some purging. When we fall in love, we'll rule and reign with him. We'll be glorified together with him. We're going to come back with him, praise God, on horses. Hallelujah. And that army of heaven. And in Revelation 19, verse 11, what does it say? And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire that were, and on his head were many crowns, and he had name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on the thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. It's a supper, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the captains and the flesh of the mighty men and the flesh of the horses, and them that set on them and the flesh of men, both free and bond, both small and great. Notice that, how much carnage there is, because we're going to read of that carnage. Because Josiah is just like that. He's that violent. He's that in love. We tell you what, you're going to win him. You better get your goodness out of there. Oh, I'm too compassionate for that. Well, you know what? You're right. You're right. You can go right on over there and grab a palm. I don't want that. Now, go on 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Huh? And the beast was taken, and him with the false prophet that wrought the miracles with him, which had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, those both small were cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Oh, that's wonderful. Hallelujah. That's really only act one, because that's the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation. We get a double portion in this one. Turn on over to Revelation chapter 20. This is after the millennium. Okay? Then the devil is loosed for a short season, and he goes and he will deceive the nations, and there will be sheep nations and there will be goat nations. That's the time that this is speaking of, all right? This is after the 1,000 years of that perfect, peaceful time known as the millennium. Now let's read from verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And that's important. Remember that. What's the beloved city? Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The end. I love that. See, just bam. That's it. It was like this great battle. It's all exciting. It's going to happen. And it's gone. Done. I love him so with you. Praise be to God. That is a double portion of purging. Would you say? Amen it is. Amen it is. Now, going back to 2 Chronicles, and with all of that, let's again read on chapter 34, 2 Chronicles 34, and let's read on verses 4 and 5. And again, this is the purging that Josiah does. And we'll notice, and I'll point out a couple things as we go, the difference of when Hezekiah did purging and when Josiah does purging, all right? Because there's a big difference. And they break down the altars, verse 4. Here's the purging. And they break down the altars of Balaam in the presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. Notice, made dust of them, made dust of them, made dust of them. We'll be hitting that. And now get this one. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. He burnt the bones. Not only killed them, he burned them. Fiery. Lake of fiery. You see this? You see how this is going? There's your parallel. It's coming and it'll keep coming. And so did he in the city of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali and their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder, so dust and powder, and burnt the bones, he cut down all the idols throughout the land of Israel. He returned to Jerusalem. All about Jerusalem. All that purging, and then here he returns to Jerusalem. Hezekiah, it said he removed the high places, he cut them down, and he did. But it was Josiah that made them dust, that made them powder, that burnt the bones. You can see Hezekiah again representing the full overcomers of the Old Testament. It's glory, it's marvelous. But it really wraps up, praise be to God, and ramps up under Josiah, because that's the New Testament full overcomers that are seen there. Now, so Josiah makes dust out of them. In verse 7, I love that. He utterly destroys, just like we will utterly destroy, praise God, when we go into Armageddon, and then especially in the end of the millennial time. But now let's keep reading on verses 6 and 7. We already read that, but I want you to notice there, since we read that, he returned to Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, it will all be established there. It will. It's just going to be, because that's what the Word of God says. The world will be ruled from there, and Israel will reign over all the nations. And praise God, Israel's not just going to have its land back, it's going to reign over the whole earth. And amen. And you think about the wicked. And I'll tell you what, those wicked, the tide's coming out. And the wicked are being really seen. Matter of fact, they want to be seen. They're parading all around here. They do. And that real wickedness that hates Israel so and hates the Jews, it's kind of surprising a lot of people. It might even surprise you. Huh? Some of these ones, even these Jews, it's surprising them. Well, I thought you were my friend. Huh? And the sad part is, honeys, I'm going to tell you this. Israel is going to be fooled even the more. This isn't their wake up. I know we wish it would be, but it's not. There's going to come a man. And he's going to arise. And all the nations are going to wander after him. And the Jews are going to get in line. They're going to think that he's there to save them. And I'll tell you what, sudden destruction's coming. But I'll tell you what, the glory's coming. Israel, let me tell you something, the glory's coming. And those wicked that don't think that Israel should even have Jerusalem back, they don't have any clue. They're going to rule over the whole world. No wonder they get so angry after the end of the millennial time. And they round about where they camped about. It's all about Jerusalem, isn't it? Just like today, it's all about Jerusalem, isn't it? It can't help but be, because the Bible tells you so. The sinner can't do but what God tells you the sinner's going to do. He's appointed the wicked for the day of evil. It's all there. And there's a lot of wicked. There's a lot of appointing going on right now. Because the day of evil, I'll tell you what, it's upon us in a lot of ways. So, let's go on now for more glory. Verses 8 through 10. Now, in the 18th year of his reign. So, he's just getting way up there now. So, what do we got here? 26-year-old man. When he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan and the son of Azaliah and Manasseh, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So I want you to think about this. And we did analyze this under the Holy Ghost here a few weeks back. But they're going to repair the house of the Lord right now, okay? And when they came to Hilkiah, notice they did all of the purging and now they're going to repair the house of the Lord. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered, remember that, the money? That money means the thing longed for. And we remember Hezekiah when he restored the temple, all right? Remember the first thing he brought in were the priests, right? And bringing in those priests, there's your type of the Old Testament full overcomers. They're the ones in heaven right now. The priests are there. Hallelujah. The 24 elders, they're there. Hallelujah. The friends of the bridegroom, they're there. They arose there in Matthew 27. We thank God we saw many of those graves opened. They're given their glorified bodies and they're there. Just waiting and waiting and waiting for the voice of the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Their dear friend. Hallelujah. So that's what they're doing. And everything in heaven is taking note. But Josiah here, he represents, again, this time of the full overcomers of the New Testament. Bringing in the money means the thing longed for. That's the bride. Amen. And we thank God for it. We're coming home soon. So, if you go on with that, since we've talked about that before, jump on down to verse 14. So now, the bride has been brought in, okay? So think of it that way. The bride's been brought in. Now we get to verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law, the Lord given by Moses. So here we have the money that's brought into the temple. The bride, if you think about this, okay, bride is raptured up into heaven, okay? And now for these Jews, the word of God is found. Isn't that kind of how it happens? The bride is taken, and the Lord begins to deal with Israel because here comes the tribulation. Oh, yes. Deals with them first with the what? The 144,000. Think of that. Goes right after them. They're part of the church. But then as it presses on and they're taken, then God shows his mighty hand, and he begins to protect them. They think they're going to go. They think they're going to die, but God's mighty hand shows at that Armageddon battle and how he just takes them out. They're all gathered. They're all coming down there in that valley of Megiddo. And what does God do? He sends in the hail. He destroys them. The blood flows to the horse's bridle. You think of little Israel right now, and you're thinking of all of the attack from just these, if you want to say terrorist groups or whatever they are, that's nothing. The nations are going to rise against them, honeys. They're going to be a 200 million man army riding right down that valley. The Bible says that. I believe it. You can say whatever you want. They got drones that look like flies right now. What do you think these locusts are in the Word of God that John was writing about? They got teeth and they shoot fire. Sure they do. They're shooting tanks and killing and all that. They've got tens of thousands of those things. But God. And he's going to throw that down. So when that money, when the bride, the thing longed for, arrives in heaven, let me tell you something. The tribulation begins. Amen. And all of this begins to unfold. And thanks be to God, as it says here. And Hilkiah, verse 15, answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. Let me tell you something. Israel's going to be converted like that. Just like that. And they're going to go out in that millennial time and they're going to minister the word of God. You talk about the great revival. There you go. That's when it happens. And Israel will be preaching and teaching the world, every nation. Yes, they'll go out. That's when this sad people don't know the word of God. This is the great revival. This is when go out and preach to every creature under heaven. This is when that will happen. This is when they'll baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because Christ will be on the throne as God. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful Lord. What a beautiful truth. Praise God. And then in verse 17, and they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, delivered it into the hand of the overseers, into the hand of the workmen. So see, it's the thing longed for that basically enables all of this to come forward. The bride will be in all of it because the bride rules and reigns with him. The bride will be in judgment with him to bring out all the judgment, to pour out all of the vials and those things that the Word of God speaks of. And then the healing of the nations, all of those different things. The bride will be all part of that because the bride is all part of I am that I am. They're one. They're one. Let it just thrill your hearts, honey. Now, we see this, that the wrath of God at that final battle of Armageddon, that purge of Jerusalem. You talk about then, boy, that word's going to come all out on Jerusalem. Israel's going to turn. They're going to yield fully to God into that millennial time. And you can see how sweet that is. And they're going to do it. It was committed unto them. Did you read that in verse 16? It was committed to thy servants, and they do it. And that's what's going to be. Isn't that glorious? And see, this is how the Lord did it there. And he did it. You know, they were vile and going after other gods, and they were worshiping in the temple false gods. They'd done everything to just to make everything putrid and vile. But God said, this is my word, and I'm faithful to my word. Doesn't matter how far this has gone. Doesn't matter how ugly it seems. Doesn't matter how far you've gone. Doesn't matter how ugly you seem. You're mine. And he will do it. Praise God. So, let's just take a couple minutes, since we have just a couple minutes. Now that we've seen mighty encouragement here, that's hidden in here for us, and there'll be more of it. I want to go back and look at the heart of Josiah, how he loved the Word of God, how he was ravished by the Word of God, and how the Word of God was everything to him. And brothers and sisters, that's the perfect-hearted king. And thank the Lord, that's you. You may not feel like it. You may not have a palace that you see with your eyes. But I'll tell you what, I believe you have a heart that sees that you're seated with him in the throne. I think that's exceeding any palace that's ever been on this earth, don't you? So we have this. Now, the perfect-hearted kings, brothers and sisters, this is why you're here on a Wednesday night. It's sweeter to you than the honeycomb. And it is. And I pray it's why you're here. I hope this isn't just something that you do on Wednesday night. No, this is date night. You know what I'm saying? This is it. And we're going to a really good restaurant. We're having the best of the best. And this is the longing of the deer for the water. Now, just a couple minutes we'll spend here. We'll call it a night. 2 Kings 22. So go on over to 2 Kings chapter 22. This is going to be another facet in the diamond looking at King Josiah. You look at these kings in Chronicles, and then you go back and it tells you about them as well too in the books of Kings. So in 2 Kings chapter 22, let's begin to read verse 8. We're picking it up here where we just left off over in 2 Chronicles, where they find the Word of God in the temple. Isn't that sad? The Word was always there, but they got so far apart from it. They got so far away from it that it was just surprising that, oh my, we found it. And if you think again about Israel, think of how far they've gotten away from the Word of God. And when it comes back to them, oh my, look what we found. And it was always here. But the Lord, that's how he does it. Now, reading from verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and they have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe shewed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now let's notice verse 11. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. He was so overwhelmed in hearing the word of God, he just came apart. He was just like, see, it was the God of his father David. He had the same reaction. It wasn't, wow, that's great. It wasn't, well, that's some beautiful words. It wasn't that, wow, this should really encourage me. It was just overwhelming to him. It was like too much. He's trying to just get out of his skin because I'm overwhelmed. And this is the heart, praise God, of the perfect-hearted kings. Dancing before the Lord, that same heart and same spirit. Read verse 13 now. Go ye, this is immediately in his heart. Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people. Notice that. For me and the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found, all about the word. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do accordingly unto all that which is written concerning us. That's a perfect-hearted king. It wasn't part, it wasn't some, it wasn't a little. It was all of the word of God concerning us. And so beautiful about this perfect-hearted king, it wasn't just him. It was equally with his brethren. It was equally with the people. He wanted it for them as much as he wanted it for him. That's the perfect love, saints. This is why this is so important. This is why this fellowship that we have, that we dwell together, that we settle down in marriage together, that we are hearing the encouragement and the instruction, praise God, of his heart. And it's not an instruction in the sense of, well, do this and do that and everything. No, he's instructing us in the ways of love. We're learning it. We're learning, praise God, his incredible love language. And it transforms us. And that's what happens in the perfect heart. It's quickened. It inquires those that are around him. We need to love the Lord more together. And that's the bride's heart. She loves what the husband loves. See, God loved those people, didn't he? And the perfect-hearted king loved God's people and wanted it all for them too. And I love that so much. God, make me fully purposed. We need to hearken to all of the truth. And I thank God this is what he's made us. And I appreciate it, brothers and sisters, and I mean this in a good way. Demand it. Require it. Stand in it. And praise be to God. That's why we're in love with all truth. Amen. All truth. Praise God. We'll stop there. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Isn't it incredible? It is. I mean, it just, and there too, Lord. And he just pats you, grabs you tight. Oh, just be still. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways and count the ways and count the ways and count the ways. Amen. Praise God. I love you all. Praise God. You know how a lot of, and don't get me wrong here, and I mean this, all glory to God, and I'm thankful. You know, we have special days and special times and all of those different things, and sometimes God takes us away. But tonight's my anniversary tonight, and I couldn't have spent it in a better way. Amen? Amen. And I know my wife say the same thing. I love you, saints. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.